Hello everyone, welcome to the Shir and Mishnayis. We're holding Maseches Bava Basra, the last Perek Yud, Mishnah Beis. Get Pashit, Edov Mishnayim, Mekusha Bishlosha. We started this topic last time. Such a thing is called a Get Pashit, and Get here doesn't mean only a Get that one would give to his wife, but it means any shtar, a document. There's such a thing as a Pashit one, which means it's open, kind of the way you would imagine a document nowadays. And there was something called a Get Mekusha, where it was folded and sewn. And that was mainly to prevent Kohanim that would be angry and hastily decide to divorce their wives. This would take longer to write, and thereby, in the meantime, they might calm down. So now we have more details about these two types of documents. Get Pashit, Edo Vishtaim. A Get Pashit, it sounds like they have two witnesses on it. Mekusha Bishlosha, Mekusha has three witnesses. Pashit Shekasuvo Eid Echad, if you have a Get Pashit and you only had one witness, Mekusha Shekasuvo Shnei Eidim, or a tied one, a Mekusha, and it had two, Shnei Basulim, both are possible, both don't have the minimum requirement of witnesses written within it. Kosavo Zuzin Me'od Inun Silin Esrin, if it had written in it the phrase, 100 Zuz, which are 20 Selas, 20 Selaim. We'll see, the Rav will tell us that that is not a phrase that makes sense, those are not equal the same amount. So, Ein lo ela esrim, the psak that the person with the shtar gets, meaning he would use the shtar to collect a certain amount of money, he will only get the 20 selas, not the 100 zuz, which is a larger amount. He'll get the smaller of the two expressions. Zuzin me'ad de'inun tlasin silin, he says 100 zuz that are 30 selas, so over here, the lower amount is now the 100, Ein lo ela money. He'll only get the 100, and we'll see from the Rav how much is the other value over here. But in either case, he's going to get the lower amount indicated. Ksaf zuzin de'inun, if he says 100 silver pieces, which are ... and then v'nimchak, then the rest is erased, ein pachos mishtaim. It can't be less than two, because he indicated a plural amount of zuz, so he can collect two zuz. Ksaf silin de'inun said silver selas, which are, and again, v'nimchak, he got erased, ein pachos mishtaim, also get no less than two. Darkonos de'inun v'nimchak, he said darkonos. That's a different type of coin. And again, v'nimchak, he got erased, ein pachos mishtaim, again, we'll have no less than two. Kasevo milamala manem mamata masayim, let's say above, meaning in the document, a line that is relatively close to the top of the document, it says 100. And then below, further down, when he elaborated on it in a different part of the document, milamata, it says masayim, it says 200. Milamala masayim milamata mana, or the other way around, above it says 200 and below it says 100. Hakol holich achar atachton, everything goes after the lower line. Imkain, if that is the case, the Mishnah, as it were, seems to ask a question on such a fact. If that is the case, lama kosvin esa elyon, why do they bother writing the upper amount anyway? Why do they, if that has no significance, when there would be a contradiction, she'im timachik os achas min atachton. So that way, if even a letter will be erased from the bottom part, yomah min ha'elyon, they can fill it in from the upper part. So there's a certain repetition that goes on in every shtar, it sounds like, for this purpose, they can fill in missing parts if something gets erased. So let's go back to the Rav here. Started off with Pashit Shekasevo Eida. Before we started off, the Mishnah was telling you that a Get Pashit has two witnesses and Mekusha has three, and then it says, Pashit Shekasevo Eida Echad, Get Pashit has one aid, Hachika Omer. Here's what the Mishnah is saying. Kishem Shepashit Shekasevo Eida Echad, Pasum in Daraisa, the same way that a Get Pashit that only has one witness is at a biblical level, Daraisa, no good. Kach Mekusha Shekasevo Shnei Eidim, Pasum in Daraisa. So too, a Get Mekusha that has two witnesses is Pasum in Daraisa. Now this Rav, I see that people question a little bit how to understand this, because as the previous Mishnah we explained, the Rav explained there himself, it's a Takana. Have this Get Mekusha, the whole thing is the Rabbanan idea, and seemingly the Torah only requires two witnesses at most in any legal action. How could it be that the Chachamim came along and said that it will be no good Midiraisa if you don't have three? There are others that say explicitly that's only Pesul Derabbanan, but again, understand the Rav, how to say Pesul Deraisa is a bit tricky. Then we went on to a case of contradictory statements within the Shtar. If he said 100, which are 20, Ein lo ela esrim, he only gets 20. What does that mean? Va'alfagav the zuz in mea chamisha ve'esim salayim heim. 100 zuz is actually equivalent to 25 sela. So why is he only getting 20? Yad bal shtar al tachtono. The psak is that the one who has the shtar is always considered on the bottom, meaning to say he can only collect with that shtar the lesser amount indicated, because he is at a disadvantage that he can't prove more is meant than that. He has the shtar, and he can only take out money according to what must be indicated in the shtar, in which case this case is 20. We explain the shtar as follows. I mean, it still makes sense. How do we explain it? Mea zuzin gruin. 100 not so good zuzin. 100 bad zuzin, old ones. She'en and shavin el esrim selayim, which are in that case only worth 20 sellers because they're rubbed out. And back in the time of the Mishnah, and before that, obviously, the money were actual weights of silver and gold and copper and etc. So if you would rub out some of the coin, it would be worth less. We discussed this in Bava Metzia quite a bit. Okay, then if he had that 30 sellers, which are 100, which didn't make sense, and in the elamani, only gets the 100, esrim mechamisha selayim, which are 25 sellers, not 30. Here's how we explain his shtar. We say 100 zuz, which are 30 lower grade sellers. Shame esim mechamisha mina tov, which are 25 good ones. So again, I only get the 100, which is equivalent to 25. What if he wrote a certain value of a nimchak and it was erased in the middle? Shnimchak haminyan, you don't have the number of coins. Shnechtav achrav, that is written afterwards. So he said he can only give him two. He can only collect two of that coin because that's for sure what's indicated and nothing more is necessarily indicated. If you wrote above in the top part of the star 100 and the bottom said 200, umilamata masayim, kishakov estivar b'shtar, when he repeats himself in the star, apparently it was the way of stars then and perhaps also now to repeat a lot, we say a kolich achar atachton, everything goes after the lower placed amount, ovad shlo yeh kosuv b'shita achron, as long as it's not in the bottom line. I saw some discussion of why this is. It seems in the bottom line was susceptible to being forged, easily erased. So we don't go after that one. But aside from the bottom line itself, we go after what's written in the lower part of the shtar. So then the Mishnah asked, Lama Kosin and say, Elyon, why do you write the upper part? Ho, the sofa shtar, chozer v'kofo, being that you're repeating yourself anyway. That's the phrase seemingly that you repeat. The responsibility of this amount of money is on me. That's what a person writes about himself. So why do you do that? The Mishnah said, if something gets erased in the top part, the bottom part, right? Then you can copy over the necessary information, the missing information from the top part. So the Mishnah again, well, kotsman get ish afu pishein ishto imo. You can write a get for a man. This is a person who is writing actual get and wants to divorce his wife. You can write that document for him, even though his wife is not there. And a shover, which really means like a receipt, it means a document that's given to a woman upon receipt of her ksuba, let's say, we'll find out from the Rav. You can write that even though the husband is not there. As long as this sofer recognizes these people, knows who they are. And either way, the husband pays the wage of the sofer. You can write a shtar for a borrower even though the lender is not there. However, you cannot write a shtar for the lender that he will have in his hand unless the loaner is the borrower is there. And either way, the borrower gives the money. You can write a document for the seller even though the buyer is not there with him. However, you cannot write a shtar for the buyer unless the seller is there with him. And the buyer in this case gives the shtar. Some three basic cases here. Let's see what's going on in the Rav. Chosman Gavli Isha can write a get for a man. The Chosman, and it can be signed. Behu Yigarish Masai Shiyirtza, and he can take that document and divorce with it whenever he wants. Bafu Bishain Ishto Imo, even the wife is not there with him. Sharei he misgareshes Bal Korcha, because a woman is divorced against her will, and she accepts the document, and then she is divorced. She doesn't have a say in the divorce. Bashover Li Isha, you can write a shover for the woman. Shehi Osalabaila Al Ksuvasa. She makes that document to give to her husband when she receives her ksuva, right? The husband, if divorces his wife, would give the ksuva money to her, and then she writes a receipt to him that proves that he indeed gave that money. The chov hu la uzchus labayla, right? That is a chov to her. This shover is a chov to her, meaning to say, once this is written, she will get no more money, and it's a schus to her husband. It's a schus that he gets to prove he doesn't owe any more money. And one can always merit to another person something not in front of them. So she can prepare this document, have it written, even though he's not around, because it's a good thing for him. Right? In the get case, you don't have that, because a get is certainly a bad thing for a wife, meaning she has to take care of herself financially after that, but you can write it not in her presence, because again, it's not up to her to receive the get or not. We said that the sofer has to recognize them. As long as the sofer and the edim recognize the man and woman. That's true of both the get and the shover. If they don't recognize the man and wife, maybe he will write a get for some other wife, some other married woman, not his wife, right? That the husbands have the same name. Batoti oso haget isha she'ena migureshes bo, right? And then that get may be applied to a woman that is not actually being divorced with it, right? Meaning to say, he'll go and take this get, so the husband's name are the same, and then he writes in a different wife's name, and then he'll hand it to that wife, say, look, your husband divorced you. Probably the rav is the same. Perhaps they're worried that this man here wants to marry that other wife, and therefore gets her single. So you have to be worried about that. Therefore, the sofer and the edim have to recognize who these people are and what their names are. The chem is shover, so to a shover, I guess was to speak that out, would be that a woman recognizes that there is another couple, and she wants to indicate, I suppose, that that other couple got divorced and that that other man gave his wife a ksuba. So she'll bring forth the shover that proves as such, even though perhaps that other couple never got divorced or the ksuba was never given. Okay, then the mission continued. The Baal pays. So the rabbi doesn't comment why the Baal has to pay for both the get and the shover, because seemingly they bring down that the Torah, it says the responsibility is on him. He has to write for him. So all the responsibility for the whole process seems to fall on him. Then the mission continued that you write a shtar for a loveh, even though the malveh is not there, but not the other way around. And the Rav has a comment, again, we'll try to elaborate, why do you write a shtar for the malveh, for the one giving the money, even though why do you write a shtar for the borrower, even though the loaner isn't there? Because, again, it's a schus for the malveh. The malveh will be able to use this document to collect the money from the loveh, so you can do that not in its presence, but not the other way around, because the shtar is a chov for the loveh. So the malva can't have it written for the loveh unless he's actually there. Okay? And then the Mishnah said, Vahalova no sin schar, says the Rav, Vafilu hi iska de palga milvo palga pikadon, even if it's a type of business transaction that is really half a loan and half a deposit. We had such things like that. For instance, two parties go together into a deal where they will raise animals and divide up the offspring of those animals, and one person is taking care of all the animals. We had such a case like that. So such a thing, no saying call a schar l'sofer. And such a case also, the one who is accepting the business, and he's essentially the borrower, he also will pay to the sofer in that case. Okay, so that was the end of the Rav there. There was one more case about a buyer and a seller. I suppose we could speak out the same idea. That you can write a shtar to a mocher, even though the lokeach is not there, proving the sale, because I suppose we see it that the lokeach wants it to be that he got this item. So that would be a schus for him. And there's no, so there's no chov to lokeach. You're just writing over that it belongs to him. You're not writing that the lokeach owes money, it seems like that. And the other way around, you can't do that, because you'd be writing, meaning to say a lokeach, writing one without the mocher there, because you're requiring the mocher to be the one that sold this item. And lokeach pays the money because seemingly that he's getting the item over here, so he gains. Okay, thank you for listening. We'll continue next time.